The Green Bay Packers will face the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, but will they have the services of Ty Montgomery? Not just Sunday, but any game for that matter? We'll find out with James Kust of WTMJ4 in Milwaukee. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. To Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have James Kust of TMJ4 in Milwaukee. Mr. Kust, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
No problem. James, in an attempt for both myself and our audience to get to know you better, can you describe your role at TMJ4? Because I live in the Madison market, and I know I used to hear you when I was driving through Milwaukee giving updates on 620 WTMJ. Is that still part of what you do, or what do you do now?
It's not what I do, at least for now anyway, but yeah, I did used to do some news for WTMJ overnight and on the weekends, and that was a great experience. Right now, I'm more focused on the digital side, so my title is the digital executive producer, and I'm responsible for making sure TMJ4.com is covering everything we need to and making sure we have all the news, especially Packers news. We know our audience loves that and needs to stay on top of that, so... It keeps me immersed in the digital world and the news and sports world, so it's a good time.
Very good. Well, keep up the good job there. Let's talk a little bit about the Green Bay Packers. We delayed the start of this broadcast to listen to Mike McCarthy's press conference. He used the word setback in terms of what happened to wide receiver Ty Montgomery yesterday. James, do you think there's a chance of this rookie wide receiver coming back at all this season?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, after listening to Mike McCarthy just now, it doesn't seem very likely. And in McCarthy ease, something like a setback could mean, something far more terrible with how he couches his language sometimes. Never say never, but even if he does get genuinely healthy, I mean, he's been gone for so long at this point. The offense has changed a lot just this season. You know, so how would he fit into that, for maybe a game, maybe a playoff game if you're lucky? And then the bigger concern for me, too, is that they don't rush him back and risk a potential re-injury. I don't think this is a team that really tends to do that, but that's my concern. Just to get another wide receiver out there, for as much as that group has struggled at times, it's not worth it if Ty Montgomery is going to go out there and risk, a potentially career-ending injury.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're running out of time this season to get him back, but we'll find out more. The Packers kind of tight-lipped right now. But maybe we'll find out more if they make a transaction later on. We'll see. The other big news coming out of Mike McCarthy's press conference, Sam Shields will not play in Sunday's game. He won't even make the trip to Oakland. He, of course, suffered a concussion last week. Does that concern you at all, not having the services of Sam Shields?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely concerning. Anytime you've got a defensive starter, a solid one like that out of the lineup. But I think this defense has proven this year that they have the guys to make plays even when they're down a starter or two. It's going to be a challenge. It'll be difficult without Sam out, but I don't think it's going to have a huge swing on the game.
Yeah, the Packers rookie cornerbacks have been playing very well, so hopefully they just continue down that road. We're going back a few days here, but I'm just wondering, James, your reaction to the Packers giving Mike Daniels the big contract earlier this week, that was big news.
Yeah, that's big news, and I mean, frankly, I was ecstatic when I heard that. It's a great move. I was very proud of Ted. It's a great move on a couple of levels. One, I think that if this is possible, Mike Daniels is still an underrated player. I mean, he's he's just such a disruptive force on that line. And in my thinking, at least, he's the guy you want to potentially anchor your defense around for years to come. So it was smart of Ted to lock him up that way. But also, I think it was a money saving move because, I mean, if you let this guy hit free agency, potentially some other team could have paid more for him, and then the Packers potentially let him walk, and I don't want to have to think about that situation. So, no, I'm very glad they locked Mike Daniels up. I think he's a great guy, a great locker room guy. He doesn't take plays off. That's a guy that the Packers will be glad to have on their D for a long time.
Yeah, I think it was a fair deal for both sides. He got paid pretty handsomely, and I think the Packers, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, they probably could have paid more at some point. As we start to look toward this week's game a little bit, do you think the Packers can continue to have success with Mike McCarthy calling plays? He just took them over last week. Will that trend continue?
Yeah, you know, I do. I think this Sunday, it's still a small sample size. I think Sunday we're going to see data point number two for the argument that the offense is better in McCarthy's hands. I mentioned that I don't think this is a team that makes rash decisions easily, and I think that applies here too. I don't think they would have made the decision to put the offense back in McCarthy's hands unless that was really what they were sure they wanted to do. So I trust them on that level. McCarthy has proven his abilities as a play caller and a coach here throughout the years. So, personally, I don't see any issues with it. I'm happy it's back in McCarthy's hands, and I think he's going to do a good job of keeping it balanced, particularly moving forward.
Similar question with Eddie Lacy. You talked about the balance. Do you think he can continue his success, or is it going to continue to be an up-and-down season with Eddie Lacy?
You know, I think we'll see some good performances from him moving forward, but I got to tell you, I think it's a little bit of the roller coaster continues, and it does have something to do with that concept of balance we just mentioned, because the Packers have proven this season that they're not afraid to go with the hot hand at running back, and Eddie Lacy has proven that he's not always the hot hand at running back. So McCarthy's not going to be afraid to put Starks in there. Obviously, we've seen great things from him this season, and continuing to mix those two liberally, I think, is only going to be a benefit for the team as a whole. It might take some of the individual stats away from Lacy, and, you know, he'll still have a great performance or two this season, but I don't know if he's going to get on a major role in the few games left that we have.
We're talking to James Kust of TMJ4 in Milwaukee here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. James, looking at the opponent on Sunday, the Oakland Raiders, they, of course, have a very notable figure on their defense, Charles Woodson. Just what do you remember Charles Woodson for when he was with the Packers organization? How do you kind of view him?
You know, when even just saying his name, Charles Woodson, really just conjures a lot of respect and admiration in my mind for that player, that guy. I've only been watching NFL football for maybe a decade, a little bit more. So, I mean, as I first started becoming really a Packers fan and getting versed in that world, Charles Woodson was a foundational player early on. And I think he's one of the few guys in the NFL that his on-the-field production truly matches with his production in the locker room as a leader. And that can't be understated. I mean, we've all seen the clips of his speeches in the locker room and that kind of thing, but it always felt like his defense when he was in Green Bay. Even when Clay Matthews had his crazy defensive player of the year in 2009 or whatever that was, it always was Charles Woodson's unit. And he meant a lot to this team. You know, even though he's going to retire as a Raider, and that's great too. Again, a lot of respect and admiration for what he did for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, remarkable. Charles Woodson may be my favorite professional football player to watch of all time. I'm a little biased in that I was a defensive back when I played football when I was young. So, you know, most people probably like the skill position players. I love watching Charles Woodson. I think he's great too. But from the old guard to the new generation, do you think the Packers offensive line will be able to keep Raiders outside linebacker Khalil Mack away from Aaron Rodgers? He's really good.
Yeah, I got bad news. In my heart of hearts, I have to say, no, not really. I don't think they're going to be able to keep him away. We looked at the practice, the injury report. The entire offensive line is on their injury report. Josh Sitton hasn't practiced all week. And happened to glance at Pro Football Focus last night, and Khalil Mack is indeed their number one ranked edge defender in the entire NFL this season. So I think that's fair to say it's going to be a challenge for a banged-up offensive line who has struggled at times this season. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be scrambling quite a bit.
Yeah, it could be one of those cases where you just want to limit the damage done rather than try to expect the Packers to pitch a shutout against him in terms of sacks given up or things like that. James, do you have a prediction for this Sunday, though?
Yeah, I do. You know, I guess it'd be a close one, maybe a little closer than some people are thinking. Oh, you know, oh, it's just the Raiders. Well, you know, they might not be in the thick of the wild card chase anymore, but they were for a while. They've got some exciting young offensive weapons. Khalil Mack, like we talked about, so I don't think they're a team to overlook, especially on the road. But in the end, I think the defense makes enough plays to get it done. I'd say something like 31-28 Green Bay would be my prediction.
Sounds good to me. James, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your time and your analysis. Keep up the good work at TMJ4, and let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was fun. I'd be glad to do it.
Very good. Have a good day, James. James Kust of TMJ4 in Milwaukee joining us on Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, we'll get to my 2 cents and my prediction here in just a moment. But some items in the news over the past 24 hours or since our last episode of Railbird Central. The big news just coming down minutes ago, literally, Mike McCarthy confirming Ty Montgomery had a setback. I suppose you could have read into that just looking at yesterday's injury report in that he went from practicing to not practicing. This is the second time he's done this since the injury. He's already suffered one setback already. So things are not looking good for Ty Montgomery, and I wrote a column at 24/7 Sports yesterday speculating it may be time to shut Ty Montgomery down. I hate to say it, and there's an argument out there. I mean, you could sit there and say, well, there's still 3 games left in the regular season. If you keep him on the roster, give him 3 more weeks to heal, you kind of got him there for the playoff push. And if this Packers team has the chance at winning the Super Bowl, maybe you want him available if he can get healthy. I see that argument. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Packers with this latest setback are just going to say, hey, it's time to get this ankle right. It was severe and, you know, it maybe came back too early or pushed it too hard. And maybe it's time to just shut him down and give the other guys on the roster the chance to develop into their roles, because the Packers have 5 wide receivers. Maybe they're not the best 5 wide receivers in the NFL, but the more opportunity the young guys like Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis get, you know, the better they're going to be. So maybe it's time to just, you know, not have them looking over their shoulder anymore and shut Ty Montgomery down. Just let him get healthy let him look ahead to 2016 and being a part of this Packers offense. Then this would also allow the Packers to activate Andrew Corliss from injured reserve. He, of course, is the one and only player on their designated to return list. He's not currently on the 53-man roster. The Packers have to make room for him. If it's not placing somebody on injured reserve, they would have to cut somebody. They don't want to have to do that if they don't have to. But placing Ty Montgomery on injured reserve would open up a spot. There's some things the Packers got away. If this is only a small deal with Ty Montgomery, maybe they keep him on. Maybe they just wait another week with Andrew Corliss. They've already waited 3 games already since he was eligible to come back. And they just kind of continue to be in a holding pattern. You know, every week that passes, you just wonder. It's the NFL. At some point, somebody might have to go on injured reserve, and he would be the logical choice to take their spot on the roster. But these are the things we're looking at that we'll learn more about over the coming days and weeks with the Green Bay Packers here, as they have to make a decision at some point here on both Ty Montgomery and Andrew Corliss. So that was interesting. Also yesterday, the Pro Bowl voting results were released. The fan vote, Aaron Rodgers is fifth overall. The quarterbacks make all the top five vote getters in the entire NFL, and Rodgers was fifth among the top five there. He behind Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer. Arguably, is that where Rodgers fits in? I would say probably, you know, maybe he's about the fifth best quarterback in the NFL this year. He's had some downs, he's had some ups, but, you know, I definitely think guys like Tom Brady and Cam Newton have had better seasons for sure. Maybe a little bit more arguable with the other players. But anyway, that's where Aaron Rodgers stands for now. And Clay Matthews, second at inside linebacker behind only Luke Kuechly. So those are the Pro Bowl voting results that were released on Thursday. And that'll lead me into my prediction for the game here, as I don't have any more news items per se or nothing we haven't addressed already. So, this Oakland Raiders game on Sunday, first giving you a few keys to the game, the way I see them. What I think one of the biggest things is the Packers versus Khalil Mack and what they do against him, because he really looks like maybe the best player on the Raiders roster. He was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week last week for five sacks, and you know, he looked like an absolute monster out there. And the Packers are going to have their hands full, and it's probably going to come down mostly to left tackle David Bakhtiari lining up across from him. But he's not the only one. I mean, you never know when they run a stunt or anything. He ends up, you know, looping inside. Can come down to the Packers' interior offensive line, picking those things up. But you do have to imagine the Packers going to have to a little bit chip in once in a while here. Obviously, you can't do it every play, but that's going to be key to watching how they handle Khalil Mack and even the play calling, just ways they can neutralize his effectiveness by not having, you know, lots of deep dropbacks and allowing him to rush the passer just by simply throwing some quick hitters, slants, and things like that. They, you know, just kind of take the option away of their any possibility of there being a sack. So be interesting to see how the Packers combat Khalil Mack, and not just him, you know, everybody on their defense, including Charles Woodson, who is an absolute stud of a player, even at 39 years old, has five interceptions this year. That's his most since he was in a Packers uniform. Despite his age, he's still playing at a very high level, and that'll be the chess match between Aaron Rodgers and Charles Woodson will be fun to watch. As I wrote at 24/7 Sports yesterday, a matchup between future Hall of Famers. That'll be a fun one. Just to enjoy it. Cherish the moment. This is might be the only time Aaron Rodgers and Charles Woodson face off in a regular season football game in their entire careers, and enjoy that for what it is. You know, one more key that I'm really looking forward to on Sunday. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I'm really looking forward to this Packers passing game finally starting to get things together. And I think maybe you saw signs of it last week, at least when you saw Randall Cobb getting involved a lot more against the Dallas Cowboys. And you hope that maybe that's just, you know, the start of things to come. By having a little more success in the ground game, maybe that'll open things up for the Packers passing game. But, it, you know, it's the struggles the Packers have had this season with the pass game is no secret. But in addition to everything we've heard about the wide receivers not being able to get separation, about the Packers not being creative enough in their play calling, you know, there have been a few external factors that I'm not sure people have been, you know, talking enough about or giving enough credit to. At least recently, in the Packers' past two home games, it has been absolute terrible weather for both the Chicago Bears game on Thanksgiving And then the Packers game this past week against the Dallas Cowboys, you know, both at Lambeau Field here, and they were downpours basically both game. Maybe not torrential downpour like hurricane, but still, I mean, these were not ideal conditions to play in. When you're dealing with that wet football and it can get a little bit slippery, you know, that is not conducive to a passing game working. And yeah, you can pass, and it's not as if rain alone shuts it down, but it doesn't make it any easier. You know, I say a lot, you know, you can pass in the cold. It's, you know, people talk so much about winter weather and football, and yeah, you probably run a little bit more, but the passing game can still work in cold weather, even though the football's hard and people's hands aren't as warm and things like that, but you can still do it. The thing that affects it, you know, rather than just cold, it's sloppy weather that really affects things. When it can get, you know, really wet out, especially rain is worse than snow, easily. And especially if you get wind involved, if it happens to be muddy, that doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. Just recently read an article. You don't see mud on fields much anymore because they've switched a lot of them, to sand, as opposed to, clay, I believe it is. And, you know, that's that base for the grass underneath the grass. And so you don't see a whole lot of mud anymore in football games, but not as if you don't see it whatsoever. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, the point being, you know, there have been some conditions that haven't been conducive to the Packers passing game getting going. I hope they see a decent weather game in Oakland on Sunday, and maybe that'll help things out a little bit. Maybe they just pick up where they left off in that Dallas Cowboys game, where they took a step forward, especially with, you know, getting the ball in the hands of Randall Cobb. And maybe, you know, hey, if all of a sudden he starts doing some damage, it's going to open up the things for the other wide receivers on the roster. And especially if the run game is working as well, then they got to focus, maybe putting an extra player in the box, and that can open up things. Hopefully the Packers continue there. My prediction, 24-21 Packers. Pretty traditional score there, I know. But I see the Packers coming away with a victory. I just think they've built momentum. Two straight wins here against a good young opponent. I like the direction the Raiders are heading with lots of young talent there. We talked a lot about Khalil Mack. Derek Carr at quarterback, Amari Cooper at wide receiver. This could be a really, really dangerous team in a few years. I just think maybe the Packers are too good for them right now, or at least they should be too good for them. So that's the way I see things going on this show. I make a prediction every game. I'm 11-2 straight up on the season. I'd like to think I know I have a pretty good pulse on this team. And the record shows 11-2 straight up. So Packers win 24-21. And then big game next week against the Arizona Cardinals. Definitely looking forward to that game between a pair of division leaders. But final segment on the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers today, Pro Bowl voting. If you've wondered, I talked about the results before. If you've wondered why the NFL hasn't announced Pro Bowl rosters now that voting is done, it's because the fan vote only counts 1/3 towards the Pro Bowl rosters. And maybe you don't care about this because a lot of people think the Pro Bowl is kind of, you know, maybe just a joke to begin with, and maybe it is. I do like that players are recognized for this sort of team, but, you know, there's a lot of issues with the Pro Bowl as it is. Anyway, the NFL is the only professional football league in which fans, players, and coaches, the consensus of those three votes determines the Pro Bowl rosters. And, you know, fan voting is done. Now, players and coaches do it today on Friday. They cast their votes. They cast their ballots. And then the entire team, Pro Bowl teams, I guess, will be announced on Tuesday on the NFL Network. So hopefully some Packers players get some recognition, even if you hope they won't be playing in the Pro Bowl and are playing in the Super Bowl instead. So that's happening Friday, and the Packers will also release their final injury report of the week on Thursday afternoon. Of course, we're looking forward to what the status of Ty Montgomery is. Have to imagine he's going to be in the doubtful or the out category. We already know that Sam Shields is going to be out, so a lot of those questions will be, you know, have been answered already. Maybe the one most in the air at this point is Josh Sitton, who hasn't practiced in each of the past 2 days. Packers seem to have had, or Mike McCarthy at least, has seemed to have had some positive comments on him, not worried so much about his status. We'll see. He's kind of the one I'm most interested in later in the day. But that'll do it, folks. Have a good weekend. Have a good Friday. Enjoy the game on Sunday. And we'll talk to you next week. There will be no episode of Railbird Central on Monday. I'm sorry. You know, getting around the holidays here, I'm doing some traveling, and will not be able available to do a show. So, sorry about that, but, we'll talk to you next Wednesday, at least for sure. So we'll see you then. Like I said, folks, have a good weekend. My call to action, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask in return, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return. Go to iTunes, search for it, search Cheesehead TV, and give us a little review. We'd really, really appreciate it. See you, folks. I leave you today with a song called All My Life by DJ Harry on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.